This week, of course, we was up at Light on the Mountain, and I had a thought that I felt like God had given me for the young people up on the youth camp, and it was out of Jeremiah 29. I wanted to preach on those that are born in Babylon, and I spent much of the week just trying to get it together. Brother West, I'm sure know what I'm talking about, and Brother Daniel would know what I'm talking about. If you've ever tried to speak in a Sunday school class or something, you may know what I'm speaking of. But it's all just like scrambled eggs. I had all these thoughts, and it's all just scrambled up in there. And I was trying to get to preach that on Wednesday from this text, and the Lord took us in a whole nother direction, just in His will. And never wound up preaching Jeremiah 29. Last night as we got back and was praying on, had some different things, thought we'd maybe preach, wanted to preach what I did yesterday over at Ridgeview on the will of God. That's a message all of us need to hear, young or old. And just seemed like the Lord wouldn't give me no peace about doing that. And He said, I want you to look back in Jeremiah 29. And I'm telling you, He just opened that thing up to me last night. And I found out it wasn't for them young people, it was for us today. Amen. All right? And so I want you to read several verses with me. And let's see if the Lord will speak to our heart today. I want to help you. That's my desire. I want to encourage you in the Lord in the days we're living in, that you and I, we can still serve and live for God in these days. Jeremiah 29, if you're willing and able, stand with us. And I may have to warm up. I don't know if I can even get the preaching gear. If I do, I'm going to have to warm up into it. And I'm about preached out. But I'm going to give you all I got this morning, okay? Bible said in verse number 1, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away, notice that phrase, which were carried away, captives unto the priests, unto the prophets, unto all the people from Nebuchadnezzar, whom Nebuchadnezzar had, here's the phrase again, carried away, captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen, and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and carpenters and smiths were departed from Jerusalem, by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are, you see the phrase again, carried away, captives whom I have caused to be, here it is, carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be, what? Carried away, captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And then Jeremiah, we come to some familiar verses here, says in this letter, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be, notice here, carried away captive. I'm going to preach to you this morning. I'll go ahead and give you the thought, but I'm preaching this morning on this thought, how to carry on when you've been carried away. How to carry on when you've been carried away, or you might like this one better, how to carry on when you're living in Babylon. And this morning, I pray the Lord to make some of these truths real to us. There'll be a little bit of everything in this message, so amen, just eat it all up, okay? You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you again, desiring mercies, desiring power, desiring the touch of God, desiring today a moving and a manifestation of the presence of the Lord in this place. Lord, as you've directed us, Lord, to these thoughts, we, Lord, are mindful this morning that we sure do need your help to communicate it. Our voice is weak, our mind is weak, our bodies wore out. But I pray you carry us on beyond, Lord, all of that. May we stand here today, no matter what, Lord, what it would look like, or Lord, what it would be like stylistically. I pray the power of God, Lord, would resonate in every heart. Lord, may the word of God, Lord, stand as true in our lives today. Lord, may you send a blessing and a spirit of encouragement, Lord, the people of God this morning. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've come this text this morning as we began to read. The Word of God is pretty clear in laying out what is going on. We find in these verses we read that they literally are a letter from the man of God, Jeremiah, to the people of God that have been carried away into Babylon. They have had Nebuchadnezzar come in. In fact, when you study the carrying away into Babylonian captivity, it happened over several different phases. And I believe this morning, if my understanding of this text is right, that Jeremiah is now writing after the second wave of that carrying away to encourage those that have been brought down into Babylon. Some have been left in Jerusalem. Many had been slain in the battle that as Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon came against Jerusalem. They had already wiped out the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And now they've set themselves against the southern part of the kingdom. And in particular, Nebuchadnezzar got his eyes on the holy city of God, the city of Jerusalem. From there, we find and even read in parentheses in verse number 2 that these that have been led away are led away after the initial captivity in the days of Jeconiah. Jeconiah, the king, and his queen mother, and the eunuchs and the princes and all of these that were skilled in the king's house had been carried away in the first wave. How that's significant to us in our understanding of the Word of God, that would have been when Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, we would call them, had been led away. And we read about them in Daniel chapter number 1. And so they had already been there, and now there's another crowd that has been carried away into the same captivity, and they're all going to be there together. And Jeremiah sits down, and he begins to write and to pen this letter. We pointed out how many times in this letter it is emphasized that these people had been carried away. Speaking of this being brought and departing from Jerusalem, departed from the land that they had known, departing, having been carried out of a place that they were comfortable in, having been brought out of a place that represented their homes and their families and their livelihoods, and have now been brought down into the land of Babylon, carried away. Jeremiah said, you've been carried away. God said, I've caused you to be carried away. And so they're in this Babylonian captivity, and they're living under a Babylonian culture that was steeped in sin and steeped in depravity, steeped in murder and immorality and licentiousness and drunkenness and paganism and idolatry on every hand. And this is the culture in which they have been carried away into. We think about it as the Word of God, in speaking of being carried away, speaks of being carried away captive. That this was not maybe even of their own choosing, and evidently it wasn't. It was something that had been forced on them, something that had been brought into their life without them ever casting a vote about it. They are those that have been carried away. And you think about what they must have been like. And they're in this place, as I no doubt this being carried away into Babylon, it would represent a time of weeping. No doubt there's a lot of tears that had been shed from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. And this crowd, as they sit in a strange land, as they sit in the enemy's backyard, no doubt had seasons and times and days and weeks. And we read in the text, for 70 years they are going to have this time of being carried away captive. How many tears they shed, we do not know, but I know they had to shed them. No doubt they're hurting. No doubt there's a lot of chaos and misunderstanding or a lack of understanding. And they're in a place that they're no longer comfortable. They're in a place where they're no longer where they are used to being and enjoying the things they once enjoyed. And they're in this state of being carried away, a time of weeping. Maybe it's a time of being worried. We understand that they... Amen. Amen. We understand. Y'all try to stay with me now. We're going to get through this. Amen. They're carried away. But everybody wasn't carried away. Everybody was not carried away. There's people back in Jerusalem. There's people back in their homeland that no doubt they're worried about. How are they faring? Are they making it? Are they even alive? What is the status of their life? How are things faring for them? And there would have been a sense probably of worry in their life in this time of having been carried away. You think about being captive and they're being carried away. It would have been a time of weariness. To be captive, they're not on vacation, friend. They aren't in Babylon, laid up on some beachfront property somewhere, soaking in the sun and sipping on sweet tea and enjoying their time there. It was a time of captivity and a time that would have lent itself to great weariness. There'd have been a time represented in this being carried away of wandering. That is W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. That is wondering what in the world is going on. How in the world did we get in this place? All of this chaos, everything feels flipped upside down. In captivity, there'd have been a lot of wondering about what in the world is God doing? What in the world did we do? And there's a message to be preached in that they had done some things, but it would have left them in a state of wandering. And then it would have led them to a time of wasting. Their homes, you read about what Nebuchadnezzar did in Jerusalem. When he came against the city of Jerusalem, he burned their houses. He destroyed everything that they had known. They literally gave him the treasures of the house of God and wasted that land and left him, my friend, in absolute utter desolation. It would have been a time of wandering. That is W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. Wandering in a strange land. In fact, we know Psalm 137, I believe it's verse number 4, that this psalm was written during the time of that being carried away, where the enemy said to these Jews, these children of God carried into Babylon, sing us the Lord's song. Get your harps and begin to play and begin to sing. Do you remember when they responded to the enemy in the land of Babylon and they're being carried away? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They're in a time of wandering. They're in a time where they do not have control of the path that they're on. And they just feel like they're in a strange land. Have you ever been there? I guess maybe after all that being said, have you ever felt like you're maybe where they are and you've been carried away? How you've been carried away. You're worried, you're weeping, you're wasting, you're wandering, you're weary. You're worried, you don't know up from down. And in your mind, you can see no end in sight to that you've been carried away unto. Well, that's what Jeremiah has in mind. He knows where they are. He has a sense of what they're going through. And he begins to sit down and write to them about their being carried away. Now, you got to understand in this text, in this passage, there's three types of people who have been carried away. There's a people in this text that have a failing hope. They have a failing hope. That is, they didn't think they was ever going to walk away from Jerusalem. They thought, we're the people of God. God always watch over us. And now, my friend, God has let the enemy come in. And they're now in this state of where we've just preached from. There's some we'll deal with more in a moment this morning. But in verses 8 and 9, and in Jerusalem and in Babylon, you had people of God that had a false hope. They believed it was going to be short-lived. There were prophets running around lying to the people of God, saying, we've only got about 2 years of this left. But they didn't have 2 years. God said, you've got 70 years. And so there's some that are clinging to a false hope. But in this text, in this letter that Jeremiah writes, hey man, he wants them to know that they can have a future hope. And he's writing to encourage them. Now, I want you to understand this morning, this is more than a letter from their preacher. Amen. It is a letter from their preacher, but Jeremiah is clear in the verses that we read this morning. Look at it with me, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Verse number 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. In verse number 10, for thus saith the Lord. In verse number 11, saith the Lord. Verse 14, saith the Lord. Verse 14 again, saith the Lord. And so this is more than a word from a preacher. This is more than an encouraging word from the man of God. Jeremiah is literally under inspiration, giving them what God's word is for their life. And I want to say this morning that when you and I feel carried away, there is something we have to hold on to today. When hope seems failing, and maybe we believe some false hope, I'm glad this morning there's some future hope that is contained in the Word of God. Amen. And so what is this word that Jeremiah has for thee of? It's all about, yes, you've been carried away. And there's nothing you can do to get out of Babylon right now. And it ain't going to be short-lived. It ain't going to be 2 years, but it's going to be 70 years. And so what is the word God sends through Jeremiah? It is a word to show them how to live and how to be and what their responsibility is. It's in a letter of encouragement about how to carry on. I'm glad this morning you may be carried away. And you may not know up from down, you may be. And in a sense, we're all in a Babylonian culture in America today. Where that is normal and right and true has been turned up on its head in society. And we look around and we think, man, where have we been carried as a nation? But you and I are the people of God, and we're to carry on in the will of God, and we're to carry on serving God, and we're to carry on living for God. The warning, and we'll see that in a moment, in this word, in this letter, is a message for how you and I are to carry on. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, it ain't the will of God and we sit down and die. It ain't the will of God we sit down and do nothing. It ain't the will of God that we develop a mentality of being victimized and hopeless and without a purpose. God is saying through Jeremiah, I want you to carry on. I know you're carried away, but you must carry on. God has a word for you. Amen. Amen. I hope that makes sense this morning. how to carry on when you've been carried away. I'm going to give you three things this morning, and there's a bunch of things under the three things, and y'all wouldn't expect anything but. But I'll give you three things this morning about God's word that shows us what God has in mind about how to carry on when we've been carried away. Number one, consider in Jeremiah's letter, we find God's word of counsel. God's word of counsel. I'll be honest with you. In times when we've been carried away and we think culturally, we think, man, how in the world are we going to make it? What in the world are we supposed to do in this kind of society? In different spiritual seasons of our life, when it seems like we've been carried away and we're in a season like we've just described, sometimes we wonder, would somebody tell me what I'm supposed to do? And I say God tells them throughout this letter and gives them spiritual counsel to direct their lives on what they're going to have to do to be able to make it through their years in Babylon. Look with me in verse number 1 down through verse number 3. I'll say it plainly this morning, stay connected to the people of God. Stay connected to the people of God. When you're, my friend, carried away, that ain't the time to join in to the Babylonians. Hey, man, there's a crowd that first carried away. Old Daniel, they came to Daniel and them men, those princes and the chiefest young people of Jerusalem, and said, we're going to change your garments and we're going to change your diet. We're going to change your name and your identity. We're going to change everything about what you've been given in your life. But Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and their friends stood up and said, we refuse to be defiled with the king's meat. And they began to band together with one another. And there was some compromisers. And there's some that was looking to get away from godly living all along. But there's some said we may have been carried away from Jerusalem, but they ain't got it out of our heart to live for God. And they began to identify one with another. And so when Jeremiah penned down this letter and looked at it in verse 1, now here's how it would have read if I'd have wrote it. A dear residue. Amen. He called them the residue. A residue of the elders. And of, he said, and of the priests. And to the prophets. And to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so this message, this letter is written to those who are the people of God. And Jeremiah said, you stay in there with the residue. There may not be as many of God's people in Babylon as you knew was in Jerusalem. It may have been easy when you're in Jerusalem to find spiritual fellowship and find holy acquaintances. But now that you're in Babylon, there'll be a residue. That word residue, I like this. It's the same word translated other places in your King James Bible as the word remnant. Hey man, it's just a remnant. It's a faction that has been cut off that looks like it ain't fit for nothing more than the trash pile. But I'm glad God's remnant, they ain't headed the trash pile. He treasures the residue. That word residue, it means a small rope just hanging on. Hey man, can I say this morning, hey man, I'm glad when we've been carried away, I'm glad in a Babylonian culture, hey, God has always had a remnant. He's always had a people we can stay connected with. And when you're carried away, that ain't the time to run away from the house of God and run away from the people of God. That's when you're going to need to stay more connected than you ever have before. Stay connected to the people of God. Amen. And I would get even more specific about it. Make sure you stay connected with people that don't just say they're the people of God, but people of God who have an interest in holiness. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah, in this carrying away, he sent his letter
through the hand of two different men. We read about in verse number 3, Elisha and Gemariah. And I don't know if I'm saying their names right. I got this, amen, southern drawl, so you figure it all out. But that first name's, and that man's name means God will make. And the next guy's name, Gemariah, his name means God will perfect. And I'm glad this morning that we can get around some people of God that remind us that God's working in our life and God's making something of us even though we're carried away, and that God has a plan to mature our life and lead us on into perfection, and God is not done with us. I love coming into Calvary Baptist Tabernacle and getting around the people of God because they remind me that God is still working. Amen. I'm telling you today, it may look like, amen, it may look like everything's chaos and all the wrong people are in control. I'm glad to remind you today, as one of God's people, if you'll get connected with me this morning, I'm trying to tell you that God is working in your life. He is making something out of you. And what God has begun, God will complete. God will see it through unto its completion. Amen. Amen. That's pretty good preaching for a wore out preacher. Amen. God's word of counsel. If you're gonna make it, if you're a part of the carried away crowd, stay connected to the people of God. Number 2, look in verse number 4. I want to say this: strengthen yourself in the sovereignty of God. Here's what the Lord said. Here's the first part of his letter, verse number 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I read that, Brother Riley, and I thought that some maybe would take that the wrong way and they'd get discouraged in that statement. Brother West, God don't mean that to discourage you. It ain't God's way of saying, hey, I'm working against you and I'm beating you down. It's God's way of saying all this that has come against you, all this being carried away and all that came with it. I am the cause and I am the effect. I'm the one that's been in charge of it all along. And I tell you, when you've been carried away, that ain't the time to go doubting God. That ain't the time, my friend, to go questioning the plan of God. And I know we do it. I do it bigger than anybody does. Amen. But can I tell you why I'm feeling pretty good right now this morning? You're going to have to stir yourself and strengthen yourself every now and then just in the fact that God is in charge. Amen. He said, I'm the one. It looked like Nebuchadnezzar's the one that done it, but he didn't do it. I allowed him. I'm the one that's been working in you. I'm the one that allowed you to be carried away. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, you can kick a can down the road and slump your shoulders over and feel sorry for yourself if you want to, but if God's what and has allowed us to get to a place and a state or a season of being carried away, if God's the one that's been in charge of that and we can rest in his sovereign plan, that God, my friend, is in control of where we are. Amen. Stir and strengthen yourself. Man, I'm going to preach till the evening service. I got to hurry. Amen. Stay connected to people of God. Stir and strengthen yourself in the sovereignty of God. Let me say this. Verse number 5. This is real practical now. Here's what God said. He said, build ye houses and dwell in them. Here's what he said. He said, settle down and build your home. Settle down and work on your family. You can't do nothing about changing the situations that you're in. But he tells him, you're going to be here a while. You're not getting out of this for a while. And yet, though you're being carried away and you've been brought into captivity and now you're living in a strange land, make sure that you just settle down and build your home and work on your family. Don't let your family be eat up with Babylon. Don't be scattered into the land. Don't dwell in their honky-tonks and their bar rooms and their pool halls. Build you a house, have a haven of refuge you can get to. Amen. I believe in these days we're living in, and we sure do need to just settle down. Quit running around and being so fretful all the time. Settle down and realize what is really important. In this is not you getting out. It's not you, my friend, making it by the skin of your teeth. But my friend, it's those children we have in our homes and those grandchildren now that God has brought in their life. Being able to say, if I've got to be in this, I want to just settle down and build a refuge for my family in Babylon. Amen. I know we got to work in Babylon. We got to shop in Babylon. I understand there's a lot of things we have to do in Babylon today. Amen. But across the parking lot today, I need a place that doesn't have much drama in it. I need a place I can get to. Amen. Where God is at and God is working and God is building. And God said you need to build a house. But you remember what the psalm said. That if a man except the Lord build a house, a labor in vain that build it. Oh yeah, that crowd went and all. Okay, Lord, we hear you. We understand we have a responsibility. Lord, we don't even know how to do that. And we go to God and say, Lord, help us to just settle down and build our home. Amen. 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 Get your eyes and your mind and your life out of the drama in Babylon. It's always going to be there. Amen. This week, man, I tell you, the political scene and all that that's going on in our day, I'm by nature, I love my nation, I love my country, I'm thankful to be an American, I want to be invested in it. These times, man, I just got to cut it all off and say, dear Lord, have mercy. Amen. Now, I'm telling you today that God is interested in your home. There'll come a time, amen, I ain't going to get to it this morning, I can tell already, amen, but I'm telling you when you're carried away, amen, you better anchor in there. Sir, dear child of God, hey, man of God, I'm telling you, just take refuge in your home and let the Lord build you a house and you fulfill your responsibility. And in an ungodly world, we can have an atmosphere in our home that encourages us to be able to carry on when we've been carried away. Amen. Stay connected to the people of God. Strengthen yourself in the sovereignty of the Lord. Settle down and build your home. I like this. Look in the end of verse number 5. Here's what God said. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. I understand this is directly to Israel, and God means it quite literally. Go out, plow some ground, sow some seed, wait for it to come up, and when you see the fruit of it, harvest it and cook it and make a spread and eat it. But here's what the Lord showed me by way of spiritual application to you and I today. Here's what I want you to see. God's word of counsel to those that have been carried away is to sow seed that will sustain you in later times. You don't sow a seed today and reap the harvest tomorrow. He said, put some things in the ground. Put some things in the soil around your home. Some soil around your life that can be planted, and that I can water it, and that I can grow, and that I can bring up. Because in days to come, you're going to get hungry. In Babylon, they've got some things ain't worth eating. There's some things ain't worth cooking. There's some things that are a waste of your money and a waste of your time in Babylon. Amen. God said, what you need to do, don't worry about what they're offering to put on the table. You sow some things that will sustain you, amen, when you feel like you can't go on. And I tell you this morning, when you've been carried away, how God says to carry on, amen, is just keep on sowing some good things in your life. Be not deceived, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap what you sow, and what you sow, you're going to reap, and what you reap, you're going to eat. I want to have something in days to come, and because I have sowed good things in my life, that when times get even harder than maybe they are, I'll have something that can sustain me in those times. Amen. What are you sowing today? You sowing drama, you're going to reap drama. You sow the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You sow some sin, you're going to eat some sin. Amen. Amen. And if you'll sow some faithfulness in your life, amen, if you'll just sow, amen, some things that are spiritual in your life, there'll be a day come, amen, you may not be out of where you've been carried away. God has a way of what we sow, bringing it up and letting us see that fruit. And it is what we sow that's going to help us be sustained. Amen. Amen. Sow something that is spiritual. If things get worse than they are for you right now, what are you going to be reaping 2 weeks from now? Amen. Have you got anything in the ground that's going to be able to keep you alive? Right, right. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope this is going over okay. God's word of counsel. Notice he said in verse number 6, I love this. Take your wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that she may be increased and not diminished. Now I want you to know what God has in mind here is, you may have been carried away, but I'm not going to let you be wiped out. Amen. You may be carried away, and it may look like a wearisome situation, and it may be weary to your mind and to your heart and to your family, and you may be wandering, and you may be wasted, and you may be weeping all the time. But it's the will of God, even those that have been carried away, and we would carry on in such a way that God could increase us, not diminish us. I wrote it down this way. I got to be careful because of what the insinuation of verse 6 is. Let me word it this way. You better spark some things in your life that will keep you alive. Amen. Amen. He said, y'all going to need to marry. Now, I don't think he means, Brother West, there to marry Babylonians. I think that comes back. You got to be right with point number one first. Amen. Ain't the will of God. Ain't the will of God you marry somebody with a Babylonian heart, a Babylonian mind, a Babylonian direction? That ain't the will of God. And yet God said, I want you while you're carried away, I want you to spark on some things so that I can increase you and you won't be decreased. Amen. Sparking. There ain't nothing more beautiful and disgusting at the same time than when you see two young people start sparking on each other. Amen. Make you want to throw up and smile all at the same time. Amen. It's gross. Ugh. And yet it's wonderful. Right? Amen. God said, I need you to be sparking some things have some relationships that'll bring forth some life so you'll increase and not diminish. And I tell you today, you better have a relationship with God that produces life. You better have a relationship with God's Word that will, amen, conceive some life. Amen, we wonder, man, I've been carried away. I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I'm diminishing. I feel like I'm wasting away. Well, if you ain't got a relationship where life can be sparked in you, it ain't no wonder. God said, it's not my will that you diminish, even though you've been carried away. I am wanting to work in your life. If you'll establish the right kind of relationships, there'll be life come up out of you. Yes, amen. Amen. And you say, can God do that? He did it down in Egypt's land. Amen. He did it down when there was captivity back in Egypt all them years later. They got so increased in the land that Pharaoh in Egypt said, they're going to run us over. They're going to take over our kingdom. They're going to change our gods. Hey, they have been blessed by God. And I tell you something today, I don't care if we're in a Babylonian culture, there's a God in glory that said, if you have some relationships that I can touch and that can conceive life, I'll make sure life is brought to you and you will increase and not diminish. There ain't anything more joyful in this life than a baby being born. Just the news of conception fills our heart. Amen. And it would be a miracle of God in so many ways if Miss Kate come to me and said, I'm going to have another baby. Amen. That probably wouldn't be as joyful as it was the first time I heard it. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. But even when we hear that Maddie and Maggie's having a baby, does that not excite the church? Why? Because it's a sign of relationship. It's a sign of life. It's a testimony of God's blessings. Amen. But you can't think you can stay away from God, keep Him far from your life, and there ever be any kind of life produced in your life. Amen. You can't keep the old black book set up on the shelf, never read it, never meditate on it, never ponder on it, never let it speak to your life, never let it change you and touch you, and think that you're going to increase just because you're so super duper. Amen. What relationships do you have that will spark some things that will keep you alive? Amen. Verse number 7, God's word of counsel. Are we making any sense? Amen. I hope I feel a little bit like I'm all over the place. I hope it don't seem that way. Let me say this morning, God's word of counsel is stay connected to the people of God. Strengthen yourself in the sovereignty of God. Settle down and build your home. Sow seed that will sustain you in later times. Spark some things that will keep you alive and cause you to increase. But last of all, under this point, verse number 7, seek the peace that comes from God. Here's what he said. He said, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray, watch it now, and pray unto the Lord for it. What? Peace. Pray for peace. Amen. And here's what he said, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now, in the context now, God said, I want you to pray for your enemies. Pray for the city that you've been carried into, that Babylonian city. Pray for it. Pray God blesses it. Pray everything goes well, because you're going to be there 70 years, and how they are blessed determines how you're going to be blessed. Their peace will be your peace. But here's what I want to point out. If you know anything about Babylon and that empire and that culture and that system, they knew nothing about peace, ever. They were a people of war. They were a people of bloodshed. They were a people of riot. They were a people that they are of that place. One of their cities we know about as being that of Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city and always had sin that always abounded in iniquity until Jonah showed up and preached to them, the Lord's going to destroy you. And then for a little season, revival broke out and there was finally peace in that place. But that's not the way it was in the days of Jeremiah when he's writing this letter. God said, I want you in a very chaotic season. A time of unrest, a season, an environment where everything is turbulent. Seek peace in it. Here's what I want you to understand. That city never had peace, but that didn't mean them people praying for peace didn't have peace in their heart. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to tell you today that if you'll set your heart to God and you'll seek peace from God in prayer, that there can be peace even though you've been carried away. There can be peace when it looks like everything has been burned down and it looks like there's no way out and it looks like there's no way back and it looks like, my friend, you're done for, and everything feels like a failed hope and everything feels like a false hope. I'm telling you today, as a child of God, when you've been carried away, there is peace, sweet peace, in the presence of your God as you call out to Him. Amen. So what are we to do? Amen. How are we to carry on when we've been carried away? God's word of counsel to the carried away, amen, says just stay connected. Stay plugged in the church. Amen. Stay plugged in the choir. Amen. Stay plugged in the Sunday school. Amen. Stay plugged in that spiritual fellowship and lifeline that will sustain you. Amen. Stir yourself. God is sovereign and God is in control. Settle down. Your family's too precious to God, amen, to be swallowed up in Babylon. Amen. You do your part. Let God do His part to build a refuge in this Babylon world. Sow some seed. Amen. Sow some seed. Get some good seed in your hand and sow it in your life and watch what God raises up. It'll be what carries you in the next mile. Oh, yes. Spark some things from God and will cause you to increase. A dear child of God, I'm telling you, won't you leave out of the secret place? I don't care if you're in Babylon, you still have a prayer closet. You may be in Babylon, you may feel carried away. You may not can get the preacher. You may not get your best bud. You may not get to your mom and daddy. And I don't care how far you've been carried away, you'll always have a place at the throne room of God. Babylon don't want you praying. They told old Daniel down there, amen, they said, we can't get nothing else on him. We're just going to get the king sign a decree. It says he can't pray. Daniel, the Bible said, as was his custom, he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He wasn't trying to be a rebel. He wasn't trying to be a menace to the government. He just said, the only lifeline I got down here in Babylon is to go up there into my little chamber and open my little room toward Jerusalem like God said to do, and began to cry out to the God of that city and the God of that place. And he did it three times every day. Every day, the Bible said, Daniel prayed three times a day. Why? Because that's all you can do when you've been carried away. Amen. When you ain't got the muscle and the might and lifted enough weights, amen, to overthrow Nebuchadnezzar in your life, you still pray. Amen. When you ain't got educated enough to find a way out of Babylon, you still pray. Oh, yes, friend. Amen. I'm glad we have a place we can go to and find the peace of God to rule in our hearts. It's what Paul said in the book of Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be a jerk, not trying to be mean or anything today. Some of y'all, you stay so upset all the time over everything. Here's what I'm telling you. You've been carried away, And because of how you're carrying on, you're going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Don't you dare leave the secret place.
Amen.
That's your lifeline. That's your peace line.
Amen.
How to carry on. How to carry on when you've been carried away.
Amen.
Well, I got too much, I guess, or maybe I just preach slow today. It's God's word of counsel for the carried away. We'll deal with it maybe tonight. We'll see God's word of caution to the carried away. And I just throw this out. I'll preach it tonight. Here's what God said. You better be careful what voices that you're listening to that I've not sent into your life. Because when you've been carried away into Babylon, there's a whole lot of voices. There's a whole lot of opinions people have about where you are and how you ought to do and what you ought to do and what it's going to be like. You better make sure you've got an ear that can hear and listen and discern and follow the voice of God. I'll show you that verse 8 and 9 tonight. And then there's God's word of comfort to the carried away. Here's what he said. He said, now you're going to be there 70 years. But then God said, that ain't all there is. You're not just going to be there. Number one, I'll visit you. Because I've got some plans. I've got some thoughts. He said, I'm going to, can I just throw it? I throw the outline out. I ain't preach it, Brother West, I promise.
Go ahead.
He said, I've got a word for you about a visitation. I'm going to show up in Babylon. Where you've been carried away to. I know where you are. And there's coming a time in all of this, I'm going to show up. I will visit you. Here's what he said. I want you to get a word of expectation. He said, I am going to give you an expected end. I can't wait to preach that tonight. Amen. Y'all, I got to give this. I'm almost done. Come on the piano. Shout while you come. All right? Amen. Y'all remember the word residue? What did the word residue mean?
Remnant.
It's just a small little cord that's just hanging there. Hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
Brother Wes has probably seen this. You know where I'm going. You go study, do a word study on that phrase. Expected end. The word expected means a line or a cord. And not just a line or a cord, it means a scarlet line or cord.
Amen.
I ain't preaching. Y'all can beg me I won't preach it this morning. You'll have to come back tonight. When you feel like you're just barely hanging on by a thread. God said in Babylon, here's my comfort to you. Amen. I'm going to send you a long scarlet cord. That's weathered. Are y'all listening to what I'm about to preach? Y'all probably could beg me and I'd preach it. There's a scarlet cord been around for about 4,000 years. It's been hanging there faithfully. Weathered a lot of storms. And a lot of God's people just hung on to that line and that cord. God seen them through. And everybody else was carried away and being destroyed. They had a lifeline from God. God said, I got a word for you when you're carried away. You may just barely be hanging on. But if you can get a hold of what God has given you today, thank God you got something that'll hold you up. There's a comfort of supplication. You say, preacher, you going to preach on prayer twice in the same message? You better believe it. He said, you're just going to start to seek me, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to find me. The comfort of supplication. And then there's the comfort of restoration. Here's what God said. I know you've been carried away. I've been the cause and the effect and working behind the scenes. He said, but I'm not only going to visit you, I'm not only going to give you an expectation to hold on to while you're in amen, Babylon, and you're not just going to be able to enjoy supplication with me. He said, I'm going to turn it all around.
Yes.
You may have been carried away, but I'm going to bring you back home.
Amen. Yes.
I love how the King James Bible reads. It's perfect. Ain't that right, Brother Mike? Perfect. And I've been on this lately. It's precious. Here's how God said it. God said, Brother Larry, he said, I'm going to turn your captivity.
Yes,
amen. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm going to bring it to an end, and I'm going to bring you back home. Yes. And all that you faced being carried away for 70 years, he said, you're going to be able to settle down again. Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it when God turns it all around.
Yes.
Don't you? Amen. Sometimes it takes a while.
Yes.
Sometimes we've got things to learn, things to go through, things to experience. But I'm glad my God gives a word of comfort.
Yes.
And if it don't turn around here, I promise you when he calls us home, you talk about a turnaround.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for the help we since you have sent to us today. I know where all these people of God would be today. Lord, I know this, if they've been saved any amount of time at all, they can, if they're not right now, and I pray they're not. Lord, if they've been saved any amount of time at all, they do know what it is to be carried away. Know what these seasons can be like. Lord, I pray we'd always and ever, Lord, keep in mind as we preach this morning God's counsel. Help us, Lord, to draw from these spiritual principles and applications for our life. That we would not just carry on, but carry on in a way that would please the Lord. It's our desire, God, it's our desire to please you. Help us, we pray. Jesus' name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. There's a few's come to pray this morning. Where you at, child of God? You in a place you feel like, man, I just don't know how in the world I'm going to make it.